It's good to see everyone this morning on this beautiful Memorial Day weekend. I know that we have some who are at the lake. You notice people say that they're going to the lake. They never identify which lake. It's just always the lake. So we have some at the lake and some at the beach. But we're glad that you're here with us. Our children and Jeff and some of our leadership and some of our youth are up at children's camp in my old stomping grounds in Hendersonville. And I've heard from them they're having a great time. Last night when I talked to Joseph Alexander, they were headed to Piggy's to get ice cream. So, it doesn't get any better than that. They were having a great time. So continue to remember them as they're up there worshiping, even as we're worshiping here. They're worshiping there this morning. And then they'll be traveling back, so please pray for them as they travel. And I know that you'll want to hear stories, and I'm sure they'll have some to tell when they get back. I want to remind you of a couple things. Next Saturday, you probably saw the banners as you drove in this morning out front, advertising. But, you know, in response to all of the tornadoes and hurricanes, all those things that happen, sometimes we as church people, we feel like we don't have a way to help. We don't have a way that we feel like can maximize the impact of how we would like to help. Now, if that has been you and you've had some frustration on that, next Saturday is your chance. Because we were talking about, Barbie and I and several staff and other people were kind of brainstorming on how we could give our people a chance to respond to all the disasters that have been happening all around us in the Southeast, even in our own state. And we just decided, hey, look, our North Carolina Baptist men are usually one of the top two or three groups that respond. If you notice that in the news, they're always one of the first groups there. And they do a tremendous work, not only caring for the physical needs, but also witnessing and ministering to the spiritual needs of those that they feed. I thought, what better way than just to support them, to raise money to give to them so that they can better respond to the disasters that seem to be happening about one a week now. It's pretty incredible. So there's an incredible need, and here's an opportunity for you to be a part of that. On the front lawn, at least based on the forecast, and they're never wrong. So we're going to be on the front lawn, and we're going to have a concert and a cookout. There is, quote, no official charge. However, there's a suggested donation of $5 per person, but you're certainly welcome to give more if you would like. And all those proceeds will go to North Carolina Baptist Men earmarked for disaster relief. So that's the way that you can help. In conjunction with that, there will be a missions fair. Local organizations here in our community, and those are listed out on the foyer as you go out in the hallway there. Again, as Barbie announced last week, if you're a part of one of those organizations or volunteer there, please check that for details about how to help your organization be represented at the missions fair. So all that in mind, keep that in mind next Saturday from 5 until 7 p.m. out on the front lawn. And then next Sunday is also Graduate Sunday. Next Sunday, graduate, is a wonderful time to celebrate a milestone in the life of our young people, and we invite you to come be a part of that. And Sunday afternoon, Barbie needs a little help cleaning out the dungeon area, the basement, so if you're able to help her, that'll be at 5 o'clock p.m. So just keep all those opportunities in mind. You have an insert in your bulletin today. I don't know if you've had a chance to read through that. But this is some kind of a survey that our Wednesday night supper crew is trying to get some input from. So if you don't mind, if you would take a few moments to do that maybe this afternoon, and you can turn it in at the welcome desk on Wednesday night, or you can bring it by the church office, or you can just stick it in an envelope and mail it to us, however you would like to get that back to us. But we value your input and hope that you'll take an opportunity to fill this out and let us know what you think about Wednesday night fellowship suppers. Will you do that for us? Okay, good. Fantastic. That is super. We're glad that you're here with us today, and I failed to mention the pew pads, but hopefully you're in a habit of doing that. So if you haven't started the pew pad down the pew, I ask if you would please do that. And if you're a guest with us today, we want to extend a special welcome to you. Hopefully you'll be doing two things at once here. You'll be receiving information about College Park from our ushers, and you'll be signing the pew pad as it comes by. So as you sign that pew pad, it will give us the contact information on you, and we thank you for that. But our ushers are beginning down the aisle, and they'd like to give you some more information about College Park. So just catch their eye or kind of wave at them a little bit, and they'll pass some information on to you. I think there's some information, general information about the ministries of the church, an opportunity there for you to get to know us just a little bit better. Yes, sir. Okay. And that information is available out in the hallway out there. There's a little display about that ministry. So keep up to date. Check by there to where you'll get the current information out there. Thank you, Roger. Appreciate it, buddy. As we've already mentioned, this is Memorial Day weekend. It's an opportunity for us as believers to recognize the sacrifice that many of our young men and women have made. And I invite Jason to come lead us in that time right now.
Good morning. Obviously, tomorrow is Memorial Day, and it's become a tradition over the last few years at College Park for us to take some time on the Sunday before Memorial Day and the time before we transition into worship to recognize and observe this special occasion and what it means to all of us and what it stands for. Memorial Day is a day of national reverence and awareness, honoring those Americans who have lost their lives in active military duty, defending our nation and our core values of freedom and democracy. As written in the 2000 presidential and congressional resolution regarding Memorial Day, the day is, quote, a time to pause and consider the true meaning of the holiday, as well as the sacrifice made by those that we honor. Memorial Day is special and unique to its own. It's distinguished from Veterans Day in November when we recognize and honor all who have served in our nation's military forces through the years, and it's distinguished from All Saints Day in October when we recognize and honor and give tribute to those in the Christian faith who have gone on to be with the Lord. Memorial Day is distinguished. It is set aside specifically as a day that we honor our nation's heroes and those who lost their lives in active duty while serving our country and us. Memorial Day is a long-standing tradition. It has only been a federally observed Monday holiday since 1971, but it's been celebrated since about 1868, which was the first year that American flags and flowers were placed on the graves of Union and Confederate soldiers at Arlington National Cemetery. I say about 1868 because other towns in America claim to be the first to have celebrated Memorial Day, including Columbus, Mississippi, which when a group from our church went down last spring for a wedding, they learned about and saw and heard from the local people there at Columbus, Mississippi. They feel like they are the first ones to have celebrated Memorial Day in honoring those that lost their lives during the Civil War. I had a reminder this week about what Memorial Day means. I was having a conversation with a lady here in town, and I was asking her about her family and asked her, what she was going to be doing this weekend, if she was going to have some time off, some time with her family. And she said, yes. She said, Jason, in fact, Memorial Day is so special to my family. My father died in World War II in Lorraine, France in 1944. And she said, Memorial Day is so special to us. And we made a pledge to each other years ago that we would, as a family, get together every year on Memorial Day and spend that and find a way to honor my dad. She said, we've done that. We've kept our pledge. And she said, 5 years ago, we went as a family to Lorraine, France, and saw where the battlefield was. We went to St. Avoid, to the American Memorial Cemetery, where I read that there are 16,000 U.S. servicemen who are buried there. And just hearing her talk and seeing in the emotion in her eyes, I could tell what Memorial Day meant to her And that was a nice reminder to me of what it means and how personal and significant this day is and the sacrifice made by those like her father. In the years after 1868 and the years to the present, many other traditions, some personal, some national, have been started and continue regarding Memorial Day. I want to share three brief ones with you. This past Thursday, as has been their custom since the 1950s, the 3rd U.S. Infantry undertook the project of placing American flags on all the graves at Arlington National Cemetery, which are now more than 265,000. And one of our own, Jamie Keltner, has participated in that in the past as a member of the 3rd U.S. Infantry. And I've heard Jamie speak about this and what an honor it is to participate. If you've not seen pictures of this before on television or the Internet, you need to go look today or tomorrow, because it's absolutely awe-inspiring to see the landscape at Arlington. The headstones that you have seen before, which are 2 feet high and white stone, many of which have a cross at the top, to have the flags set in front of them all across this landscape is just powerful. And I saw a picture of one of the members of the 3rd U.S. Infantry with in uniform, with a backpack that must have had 1,000 of those flags, and you know, so he could pick them out, and it's just a great tradition. Also, tomorrow at 3 o'clock, there will be a national moment of remembrance where all Americans are encouraged to pause and reflect quietly on the meaning of Memorial Day. And it's also a tradition for anyone who flies the American flag, whether it's at your house or at a place of business or otherwise, for it to be flown at half-mast tomorrow from dawn until noon, at which point it's raised back up to full mast. Again, another simple but very meaningful tradition and way of observance. Memorial Day is about reconciliation, honoring those who gave their lives for our nation and for our freedom. It's sometimes easy for us to forget and take for granted the freedom and the democracy that we do have in the United States. And observing this day is one small way that we can give back and honor the sacrifices it took for us to have those freedoms that we enjoy and share. As is our tradition, we would like to honor those who have lost their lives in military service by honoring those that they served alongside and the veterans that we're blessed to have here with us at College Park. I'm going to mention the foreign conflicts and places of service, and I ask that for those of you who did serve alongside these brothers and sisters who passed away in service, that you would stand and be recognized. For any immediate family members of anyone who lost their lives in active duty during any of these conflicts, please feel free to stand so that we may honor you as well. And congregation, please hold your applause until everyone is standing and all the conflicts have been mentioned. World War II. Korean War. Vietnam War. Grenada. Panama. Persian Gulf War. Somalia. The war in Afghanistan. The war in Iraq. Any other foreign conflicts or interventions that I may have omitted or that took place in the intervening time periods between these conflicts? Thank you. I'd also like to recognize members of our church family who are currently serving in the military, Peter Heller in the U.S. Army, and J.J. Gray in the U.S. Air Force. Veterans, on behalf of us, on behalf of those that you serve with, from your friends and your sons and daughters, grandchildren, parents, and church family, thank you. We're about to have a musical tribute that I think you're going to enjoy. And I wanted to tell you that while the musical tribute is being shared, there's a slideshow that's going to play, and it features pictures from our church family, from the pictures that have been shared with us of you in service and your loved ones in service. I'm sorry that we're technologically limited here, that many of you will not be able to see this clearly. We're going to have CDs available if you'd like to see this slideshow and have a copy to take it with you. But thank you to those of you who shared the pictures, and I think that you'll find this meaningful. We did this in the 9 o'clock service, and I think you'll really find it enjoyable. Thank you.
Just trying to be a father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, and everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, I'm being all that I can be. And I can't call in sick on Monday when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays and sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid. Hey, I'm steady. Yeah, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost, I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't want to die for you, but if dying's asked of me, I'll bear that cross with honor, 'cause freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American. Beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, I'm an American soldier. Soldier, an American. Beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, I'm an American, an American, an American soldier.
We're always aware of the fact that there are many of our soldiers that don't come home. And for those families, there is a lack of resolution, a lack of closure, many times not knowing. And there's also those who, having experienced imprisonment on foreign soil, there's a lot of issues they need to work through, and we're certainly want to be sensitive to that as well. So we want to pause for just a moment and be aware of the fact that there are many, even some within our congregation, who served as prisoners of war. And we want to extend to them our thanks and our gratitude. We also want to extend to the families of those who still have loved ones who are missing in action. We want to extend to you our thoughts and our prayers that hopefully you can have some sort of resolution and closure even in the midst of confusion and uncertainty. So we give thanks for the service of all of our veterans. Obviously, many of those that were here on the slideshow are still with us, and we continue to thank you for your time of service. I want to ask if you would take your order of service. We have a litany of thanks, which is appropriate as we look forward to a time of worship together to give thanks, not only for the sacrifice of those who have served, but also to a God who loves us and gives us life. Let us give thanks to God for the land of our birth with all of its chartered liberties, for all the wonder of our country's story. God, we give you thanks for leaders in nation and states, and for those who in days past and in these present times labor for the common good. For those who in all times and places have been true and brave, who have lived upright lives and ministered to others. For those who serve their country in its hour of need, and especially for those who gave even their lives in that service. Almighty, merciful God, as we remember these, your servants, remembering with gratitude their courage and strength, we hold before you those who mourn them. Look upon them with mercy. As this day brings memories of those they have lost, may it also bring your peace and the assurance that their loved ones are eternally in your presence. Thank you. I want to ask our choir if they would come now and get set for our call to worship while we shift things on the stage up here.
Pray. Our Lord and our God, we come this morning to celebrate you. Lord, we come this morning to worship you. Lord, we come to express our love and our thanks and our praise. Lord, we praise you, for you are a mighty God. Lord, you give strength to the weary. Lord, you bring healing to those in need. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that you've given us. Lord, the freedom that we find in your Son, the freedom that we enjoy day to day within this country of ours. Lord, we thank you because you are the author of all freedom. And Lord, as we come this morning to worship, Lord, we celebrate the fact that we know that you are here with us. Lord, as we worship together, accept our praise. Lord, let the words of our mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. Lord, let it be a fragrant offering. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you join me in prayer? All hail the power of Jesus' name. Lord, a reminder in those the beautiful words of that hymn, the gift for which we are eternally grateful. The gift of Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, who died so that we may live, who died so that our sins would not define us to the grave, but that we may have victory in you. And Lord, we are forever thankful for the gift that brings meaning and purpose to our lives, which makes every day a gift from God and one for which we're thankful. Lord, on this beautiful Sunday morning, I give thanks for each person here. I give thanks for each member of our church family and our extended church family. For those who are old enough to have served in World War II, fighting for our freedom. And those babies who have just recently been born, from age 96 to age 0. I thank you for each one of these people that you loved enough to create, that you loved enough to give your Son for us, your children, people that have been blessed by you each and every day. Lord, we are a blessed people, and sometimes we're not thankful enough for the ways that you have blessed us. But even in our slow moments, Lord, and even our moments of selfishness or distraction, even we are not slow enough to miss the incredible gifts that we receive on a daily basis. Lord, thank you for the blessings that we have in our lives that just make all the difference in the world. The blessing to be able to come to you every day in prayer, to be able to experience a relationship with you through scripture and communion and fellowship with fellow believers. The opportunity to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. The opportunity to see the way that you work around us in the world. A way that's powerful enough that miracles happen every single day. It's just a matter of whether or not we're paying attention and whether or not our vision is strong enough to see what you are doing. Lord, we are such a blessed people in so many ways, and we thank you. We thank you for what you mean to us and our loved ones. I thank you for what you mean to each person here. No, things are not always easy. Yes, some days are difficult, even to the point that we're not really sure what to do. But we, as your people, are fortunate to have the presence, the knowledge of our Lord and Savior that abide with us each and every day. A presence and a love and a grace and a peace that's more powerful than anything that this world has to offer. Yesterday, today, or tomorrow. Lord, thank you for blessing each of us as you do. Thank you for each person here. And thank you for the gift of your Son. That is the reason that we're here and the purpose of our lives. It is in his name that we pray.
I got an email yesterday afternoon from Jennifer Allen asking if I could be in the nursery today during the Sunday school hour because they needed more people in with the bed babies. And I couldn't do it because I was teaching in my own class, but it really made me start to reflect on my volunteering in the nursery at all. Because many of you know I don't have children. And I'll tell you, a 3-year-old is a lot more intimidating than a 50-year-old when you are in my situation. So, you know, they look at you with these little eyes like, you should know what to do, and I don't have the first clue what to do. But fortunately, the smart people in charge have always paired me up with someone who's an experienced mother, and they know what to do, so I'm just a pair of hands to guard the door for the most part. But I'm very, very grateful to our preschool ministry for giving all of us this opportunity to have this precious time with these precious children. I think the hugs that I get from these 3-year-olds when I'm in there are probably the greatest gift of God I get just about any time. It's just incredible the way they are just free with their love. And I'm very, very grateful that this church is so committed to helping raise these little lives in the love of the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you today with humble and grateful hearts. We are thankful for the many worldly blessings that you shower upon us. Gifts of family, of Christian friends, of home, and all your daily provisions. We are very grateful for the freedoms that you give us in this country and for the service of those you've used to protect these freedoms. Father, help us to be ever mindful of the blessings that you freely give, the gift of your love, the gift of your Son, the gift of salvation, the gift of your word, the gift of worship, and the gift of giving back. Father, help us to remember our obligation as your children to share these gifts with others. Please accept our gifts back to you and give us the wisdom to use them to help further your kingdom on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Not sure I've ever preached from the side before. I'm feeling kind of Methodist this morning or something. Oh, God's word's the same, isn't it? Amen. We want to invite you this morning, if you would, take your Bible and open to Galatians chapter 5. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to kind of hit a few high points in it, but I want you to have it open to where when I refer to it, you'll know that what I'm reading is actually what's printed. And this is Paul's letter to the church of Galatians. It's an interesting book. You probably ought to go back and read the whole thing because in context, it's a fascinating study. But again, Galatians chapter 5. This morning, I'll read verse 1 and then I'll jump down to verse 13. Galatians 5, 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And then in verse 13, for you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, although this passage is quote that I've just read, I'm quoting that it really relates to the subject of justification. But here the Apostle Paul kind of aims it specifically, kind of driving home the ethical dimension, the body-spirit opposition. And as you read the whole chapter, you get a little bit better feel on that. But the opposition that he's trying to point out and illustrate is the opposition between life according to the flesh and life according to the Spirit. And he draws that parallel to show us that in one life we're enslaved, and in another life, the life according to the Spirit, we have true freedom. And as he draws that comparison, he helps us to realize that freedom is linked with a command to love. You know, it might seem that he's only contrasting freedom with the law and the law with freedom, but again, as you read the whole book, as you read the whole chapter and again the whole book, you'll see that Paul, he emphasizes above all the ethical subordination of freedom to love. In fact, I don't think we would be misrepresenting Paul at all, nor would we be misrepresenting the essence of the gospel if we said that freedom is impossible without love. Because love is that element in which the whole law is fulfilled, and Jesus Christ is the representation of God's love to us, right? In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And this love is the content of the greatest commandment of the gospel, and Paul ties that to freedom. Christ set us free in order that we might remain free, precisely in the sense that he linked freedom with the commandment of love. So to understand the vocation of freedom in this way, as Paul writes, you know, you were called to freedom, brethren, means giving a form of the ethos in which life according to the Spirit is realized. Life according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And the danger of wrongly understanding freedom is very likely. And Paul is clearly pointing that out. He writes in the same context in those verses, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, be servants of one another. In other words, Paul warns us of the possibility of making bad use of freedom. Such a use would be in opposition to the liberation of the human spirit that was carried out by Christ on the cross. And it contradicts the freedom with which Christ has set us free. Because you see, like political freedom, which is usually bought with human lives, like political freedom, spiritual freedom was bought at a price also. The cost of spiritual freedom. What was it? It's the cross. It was Jesus' death on the cross. That is the price of spiritual freedom. The death of the Son of God. Have you ever thought about it this way? It cost God more to ransom us than it did to create us. It cost God more to save us than it did to create all of creation. But He did it. Jesus ransomed the souls of all who would accept His sacrifice and ask Him for a personal relationship. You see, you know, we're quick to claim the freedom part. We're real quick to claim the freedom part, but we deny the personal responsibility. We deny the personal relationship before God to love one another. And in doing so, in effect, what we're saying is, you know, Jesus, You're not really Lord of my life. I'll accept You as Savior, but I really don't want that lordship part. In effect, we're saying, Lord, give me freedom to choose, but just don't hold me responsible for wrong choices or expect me to learn more about You so that I make the right decisions and the right choices next time. We do that all the time. And here's what it looks like in America today. I may step on some toes here, but that's never stopped me before. Here's what it looks like in America today. There's a growing trend in churches all across our country where people stream into church. They want to be entertained. They want to be entertained by the music. They want to be entertained by drama, any other type of elements of worship, whatever's offered there. They want to be entertained, and then they sit back and they listen to a preacher tell them what to believe. And they blindly accept whatever is preached, and they never question it. Why would intelligent, motivated people blindly believe whatever is preached without question about the most important relationship, that is their relationship with God? My opinion is this. Here's why I think we tolerate it. It's because we're lazy. We're spiritually lazy. We're raising a generation of spiritually lazy people and power-hungry preachers who don't like it when they're questioned. Spiritually lazy people want freedom, but we don't want the responsibility that accompanies that freedom by necessity. Preacher, just tell me what to believe. Don't challenge me to read and study and talk to God and figure it out and come to my own belief system, come to my own faith. Don't challenge me like that. Just tell me what to believe. Where is personal accountability before Christ? Give me freedom, but don't hold me accountable. I don't get it. And pews and chairs all around the world, all around America this morning, people worshiping together, they're convinced that they're not accountable for the proper use of freedom that Christ offers. They wouldn't admit that, and most of us wouldn't admit that. But our actions, our attitudes give away what we really believe. And it's, we've already discovered, Paul says, freedom is tied to an understanding that freedom is given so that we can glorify God through our love and our service to each other, not for the purpose of glorifying self or satisfying the flesh. So freedom isn't free. It cost Jesus His life. It cost the precious Son of God His life. It was bought with the price, and it carries with it the price of love and servanthood on our part. It carries with it the responsibility to walk according to the Spirit, not the flesh. And you say, preacher, how do I walk according to the Spirit when my life is just slam-packed with schedule and mundane stuff that I have to do? I believe it's a question of perspective. We wrestled with this Wednesday night in the foundations class downstairs. about how do you live a spirit-filled life when your whole existence seems to be caring for children and, you know, and wiping their noses and cleaning them up and dressing them and then cleaning them up again and then redressing them. You know, how do you live a spirit-filled life in that regard? And we decided, look, it's perspective. It's attitude. If you look at caring for a child as just caring for a child, yeah, it's pretty mundane. But if you look at caring for a child or a grandchild as an opportunity to minister to them, to invest of yourself in them, to disciple them, to love and encourage them so that they in turn affect all the generations that follow them. That's a spiritual moment. When you think about that three-year-old coming up to you in the nursery and hugging you and you returning that hug, not as just giving a hug, but giving a blessing to that child, which will be passed from generation to generation to generation. That is a spiritual moment. When the person in the cubicle beside you in work is obviously upset, and instead of just saying, well, bless your heart, let me know if I can do anything. Instead of doing that, and there's nothing wrong with that, but instead of doing that, sit down with them. See how you can minister to their needs. Encourage them. Pray with them. Instead of just a mundane task, you're investing in all of eternity. It's perspective. Living by the Spirit, not by the flesh. And Paul very clearly ties our everyday desires and our activities to an awareness of walking by the Spirit. Just read that book. Read Galatians. It's amazing. And then this week, pray each day for a filling of the Holy Spirit. Not feeling, but a filling of the Holy Spirit to guide your thoughts, to guide your actions, to guide your attitudes. Do that. But only do that if you want to know what true freedom in Christ is all about. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the words of the Apostle Paul as he poured out thoughts that were given to him by you so that we would be able to read them today, this morning, this week, and apply them to our lives. Father, we thank you for the truth that freedom is not free. It carries with it a price. It carried a price for you, and it carries a price for us, the responsibility of loving and caring for one another. God, we thank you for the chance to be the body of Christ. It's truly a privilege and an honor. And we pray that we would be up to the task through your Spirit that we would minister to one another and that we would point others to Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a personal relationship with him, you have not established the most important relationship that you need to establish. If you're here, I'll be glad to speak with you. We're going to sing in just a moment. I'll be here at the front. Be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I am a believer. I do have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I know that probably I'm not living the kind of life. I'm not living that spirit-filled life. Maybe my perspective is off just a little bit. This is your morning. This is your morning just to confess that to God and allow him to touch you and bless you and re-energize you and renew your spirit so that you can walk more closely with him. I'll be glad to pray with you and talk with you, but certainly you can have that conversation with him where you are. If you're here this morning, say, I'd like to be part of this fellowship. It is a wonderful fellowship of believers. We try to really take care of one another and at the same time worship the God who gives us life. So, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you. Whatever your decision is, be glad to talk with you about that as we stand and sing together now.
Thank you.
I hope you have a wonderful week. I want to encourage you after we have the benediction and the response. Love on one another. Encourage one another. This week, pray for me. I'll pray for you. And we'll see each other midweek. And if we don't see you midweek, we'll see you next Sunday morning, okay? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as we go, we pray that you would walk with us, that we would seek your Spirit to lead us and to guide us, encourage us, as we attempt to do the same to those that we come in contact with. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.